Shalom Aleichem, a very good morning. On behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Sanhedrin Kuf Yud Aleph, Sanhedrin 111a, pagination is 221. We'll start on the facing page, towards the bottom, five lines up from the bottom at the end of a line. Itmar, we learned. Katon me'ema saiba la'olam haba. A child, from what point, what threshold does he have to cross in order to enter into, literally, the world to come, Olam Haba? Now, this is a Gemara in Perek Chelek, which talks about all kinds of things, about reward and punishment and afterlife. And the Gemara responds to this question by telling us that, for starters, there were two viewpoints. Chad Amar Misha Shanolad, one says that from the time of birth, V'chad ama misha shesiper, and the other opinion is from the time that he begins to talk. So, the time that he's born, so he, she is a person. Okay. From the time that they begin to talk, they earn a share in the world to come. This may be related to the halacha that we have in Yeridaya, on the laws of teaching Torah, Resh Mem Hei, Hei, where the Mechaber tells us, Me'emasai maschil lilmod livno, when does a person start teaching their child Torah? Mishayaschil ledaber, from the time that they begin to speak. Maschil lelamdo Torah, tziva lanu Moshe, that you start with the pasuk, which states, Torah tziva lanu Moshe, the Torah was commanded to us through Moshe as an inheritance for the entire Jewish people. U'pasuk rishon miparsha Shema, and the first pasuk of Shema, and then you continue teaching, etc. So it could very well be that we have a link here when it says from the time that the child is able to speak. What's the significance? Speak, speak what? Speak, I want a lollipop. What does it mean, speak? Speak means from when they get ushered into the start of studying Torah, at least its principles. So that's the viewpoint that earns a person a share in the world to come. The Gemara continues, if you skip a line, we're not bringing all the proofs from the Psukim, just going through the viewpoints for the most part. Itmar, we learned. Ravina Omar, Ravina says, it's a much earlier stage, Misha'a Shenizra, from the time of conception. Already, once the child is conceived, even if, Rachmana Litzlan, Hashem protect us, it turns out as a miscarriage, it never ends up with a birth. Nevertheless, that child has an neshama and earns a shear, receives a share in the world to come, is destined for Olam Haba. There's a fascinating tshuva from Reb Moshe Feinstein, Igros Moshe Yerideya Gimel, Kuf Lamed Ches, in which it appears that the question was posed to him by a child, a young man, whose mother apparently had miscarriages, and while typically the trauma is on the parents, in this particular case, it seems that it was the would-be sibling that was troubled by what happened and wrote to Reb Moshe, apparently with a shaila for chizuk, to gain perspective. And Reb Moshe wrote back that the halacha is like Ravina, the opinion that we just did, that from the time of conception, the child already has an neshama and is destined for the world to come. He says, "Tehu basra shahalacha kemoso," and therefore we would follow Misha'a Shenizra. And therefore, after writing a few lines to this young man, he writes that at the time of Tchias HaMesim, the resurrection, Yihyu lecha achim tzadikim shalotoamu ta'am chet, you will find that you have brothers that are righteous, They never did anything wrong. We consider a child pristine and perfect. They didn't do anything wrong. And although Reb Moshe emphasizes your real emphasis should be in life to be the best you can be, to grow in Torah, in mitzvahs, to do the right thing. But if you're asking on this topic, you should know that it's not a tragedy that's ended. It's trauma, it's a tragedy, it's whatever you want to deal with it, but it's not an end, because such children would have a share in the world to come. Again, the tshuva was written to a young man, but I think the perspective that on a miscarriage, that it's not a tragedy of finality in Jewish perspective, that it has purpose, that whatever value of that neshama coming into this world for that small amount of time, but the parents are indeed enduring what it is that they're enduring for a purpose. There's one final viewpoint that actually one Misha Shenimol from the time of Mila. And we have an interesting practice that if a child does die, unfortunately, before Mila is done, then the Chevra Kadisha would do, if it's called Mila, but that act, that it's an act of the covenant, and that is one of the opinions. But again, the opinion that Reb Moshe says we would follow is even from the time of conception. The one, what I was calling the final one, is very important in our understanding of the word Amen. And again, although it may be Mishah Shenizra from the time of conception, but certainly this answer of the Gemara is showing a threshold of significance. Tana Mishum Reb Meir Mishah Sheyomar Amen. A child merits the world to come from the time that he says Amen. It's interesting, parenthetically, that in Megillas Esther, where the Pasuk says, Vayihi Amen es Hadasa, and Mordechai raised, adopted Hadasa, so there are those that learn, Amen es Hadasa means he taught her to say Amen. Hadasa, Esther, was an orphan, and Mordechai taught her this very important thing, the ability to say Amen. Shenemar, there's a pasuk in Yeshaya, Pischu sha'arim v'yavo gai tzadik shomer emunim. Open the gates, let the righteous nation come in, and the final words of the statement are shomer emunim, that they guard the Amen. Says the Gemara, Al Tikri Shomer Emunim, that they guard the Amen, Ela Sheomer Amen, that they say Amen. Let's just finish on to today's daf, and then we'll go back. My Amen, what indeed does the word Amen mean? Amar Rabbi Chanina, Rabbi Chanina said, Kael Melech Ne'eman. It's an abbreviation, an acronym, that Hashem is trustworthy. So when a person says Amen, he's affirming that the blessing or the statement is indeed something that he or she believes in. Let's go back to the last line, this interesting drasha. The Gemara says, Al Tikri, don't read it, Shomer Emunim, guarding the Amen, but rather saying Amen. And it really is a thoughtful statement, because what do you mean, Al Tikri? That's not what it says. It says, Shomer Emunim. What do you mean, She'omer Amen? It says, guard. It doesn't say, say. So we have quite often in drushas that when it's an Al Tikri, it doesn't mean that we just rearranged the words and the letters and just coming out of the blue. It's that there's a message over here. Shomer Emunem, someone who guards the Amen. Amen is not the type of mitzvah that you could just wake up and decide to do. You could wake up, you could decide to put on tefillin. You could wake up, you could decide to eat kosher. You could wake up, you could decide to light candles, covered Shabbos. It's your decision to do it at the right time, but you can do it if you so choose. Amen is something that you have to wait until the person who's saying a statement which you're looking to affirm has finished his statement and you're able to do the mitzvah of saying amen on his statement. Yiskada v'yiskada shemei rabo. I could say amen. I can't just say amen clear out of the blue. Shahakal nihye bedvaro is a bracha, someone says, and you can say amen. So there's an interesting discussion, Mishneh Berurah discusses and others, that sometimes people are just so busy that they don't listen to the bracha. You have it sometimes in davening. A person is so busy that he's catching up on Psukei Dezimra, he's catching up on Shir Shal Yom, all nice religious pursuits, but you're not supposed to do them during Kaddish, because during Kaddish you wait at attention, listening to the prayer, in order to answer Amen. That's Shomer Emunim. The essence of answering Amen is expressed in the Pasuk as Shomer, as a person who guards, a person who waits for the opportunity to recite Amen. And the concept is really being expressed by the Pasuk because of its uniqueness. Yashar Koach, thank you for joining.